Paranjana is the living entity, the conditioned living entity, who we're residing within the body, then he thinks that everything that's going on within the body and everything connected with the body is something special, something wonderful. So it's very natural, because the living entity is a person. So as a person, then they have naturally their form, their relationships, their activities. But the difficulty comes is that these activities, these relationships are natural in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So if they're in relationship to the Supreme Lord, everything becomes perfect. He is the Supreme Complete Whole. Then everything connected to Him, is Him. So everything has its perfection when it's seen in relationship to Him. Right? Just like, let's say, you meet somebody, and you shake their hand. As long as you're seeing that their hand is in connection with them, and you're showing that affection to them through their hand, it's very natural, very comfortable. Right? But if you decide, oh, hey, this is a nice hand, I'd like to take this hand home. And try to put the hand in your pocket or something like that, then there'd be a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is it doesn't matter what part of the Supreme Lord you're interacting with the Supreme Lord. Right? Like you're seeing the eyes, or, like you said, the hand, or, touching on the back, giving a hug. So many different things are there. So it's not that it's a problem for the person. So God doesn't have a problem that we interact with Him depending upon the various elements that are there. What is a problem is if you don't understand that it's connected to Him. That's the problem. So, in the spiritual platform, then it's very natural. One has a form, one has friends and relations, and everything is connected to the Lord. Everything is about the Lord. So one uses the senses, the mind, the intelligence, because it says here the intelligence is being used. The intelligence controls the mind. Intelligence analyzes, arranges. The mind imagines what could be, or what are the possibilities. Right? Intelligence tells you what's there. The mind tells you what you would like to be there. And then the intelligence and mind combined make a plan how you're going to get from here to there. Right? So to do that, you use the senses. So now if it's all about Krishna, the intelligence shows you what is the situation that you're in, so how we can be connected with Krishna. Then there is the element of the mind, what you'd like to do for Krishna, the plan how to get that for Krishna, by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. Is there a problem? No. And because everything's connected to Krishna, it's not a problem. Let's say you want to cook for Krishna, and you use a pot and a spoon. Is it a problem? Is that pot and spoon getting in the way of your interacting with the Lord? No. Because you're seeing it in connection with the service of cooking for the Lord. So therefore, as we said before, since everything's connected to the Lord, then there's no problem, because everything, including family, including the body, including your occupation, your wealth, whatever you have, it's all part of the Lord anyway. The illusion is to think that it's not, that it's mine, I'm in control of it, and it's for my benefit, rather than this is all Krishna's, and so this will all be engaged in Krishna's service. Therefore, on the spiritual platform, there is no problem. But on the material platform, everything is a problem. Right? So depending upon, so the Shastras are always pointing out the wonderfulness of being with Krishna, the natural position of being with Krishna, and the weakness of not being with Krishna. Right? And so then, accordingly, the Shastra is always pointing this out. What is our position? How misusing this position creates problem. And therefore, the ideals that we have, the problems come up from that. Now, accordingly, because the sages are all-knowing, then those subjects that are less of a disturbance to the conditioning of the living entity, those are always talked about. Right? That we're the soul, there's God, we're God's servant. That's basically as basic as you can get. Some people do get disturbed by that. Some people do. But, you know, what to do. But then you have stuff like, you know, here, your money, your business, or getting close, your family, or your interrelationship with your family, or sex life. Then it just gets closer and closer to the heart of the conditioning. And so they're much more delicate. So we see something like this where you actually point out the family life not connected to Krishna is absolutely useless. Right? Of all the uselessness, it's the most annoying useless. Right? There's all kinds of useless. But like on, you walk down the path and there's a clod of dirt sitting there on the cement path. Is it useful? No. But it's minimal disturbance. You get some mud on your feet, you wash it off. Done. Family life's not like that. You step on it, you can't just wash it off. Right? It takes longer. It entangles you. It makes you identify with it. So because it's so important, it's discussed less. So there's a few chapters in the Bhagavatam, and then, oh no, it's another one of those, and this and that, and okay, it's so disturbing to my conditioning. But all that the Shastra is pointing out is it doesn't matter what it is, if it's in connection with the Lord, it's not a problem. You know, think about it. In Vrindavan, who are the brahmacharis? Right? Who are the brahmacharis living in the ashram, being austere? Knock me out. Give me one name. Half a name? Quarter of a name? How about one syllable? Drop off the vowel, just the letter. There aren't any. And in Vaikuntha, there's Narad Muni. Right? There's Hanuman. Do I have a third name? You understand? So, being married is not a problem. Those from the spiritual world don't have a problem with it. God doesn't have a problem with it. Who has the problem? Us. Because we think when we're married, we're in the family life, then that means it's all about us. Right? Going to the temple because I like to go to the temple. Great. But is it spontaneous? It has the element of it. But when we don't like, it doesn't fit us, we don't go. So it's not exactly spontaneous devotional service. It's about us. Right? So the difficulty is most of what we consider in devotional service is all about us. Fine. God doesn't have a problem. Right? Relationship means sharing. But the problem is we're not sharing. God is, it's His creation, He comes, He's the Lord in the heart, He arranges everything, He makes the creation, you want something, He makes the arrangement, He's sharing. But are we sharing? That's the difficulty. So that's why these things are pointed out in such blunt terms. Because if one can't appreciate this, there's every chance that what part you're not appreciating is the exact part you're not connecting to Krishna. Not seeing in relationship to Krishna. Leaving Krishna out. You know, it's my family. Why do they always bother us about this? Why can't we just be peaceful? It is saying, yeah, before. Just like peaceful here. Right? Means that the one before. Such an atmosphere. Even the animals of the forest become non-violent and non-envious. It's talking about peaceful family life. Remember here, we're not, the example being given here is not some lechas and yavanas on the Upper East Side of New York. These are pious people who are following Shastra. Pious. Nice. Family life's going great. But the problem is it's not connected to Krishna. So that's the whole point. What's Paranjana, what is Prachinabarhishat's problem? He's a pious man. He respects the Brahmins. He's running his kingdom very nicely. He has 10 sons. Right? He's performing sacrifice, and he's doing a lot. So that means a great amount of his wealth. He's engaging in sacrifice. What's wrong? He's probably, you could say, at the time of this discussion, is probably the most pious human being on the planet. And not only that, because of his piety, he's maintaining the universe, right, on the mundane platform. So, what an important person. He's the emperor. In the whole universal affair, he's very important, very pious, does everything properly. What's wrong? None of it's connected to Krishna. That's the problem. Right? So he's connecting all these points that are mentioned here. The family, the money, the position, the senses, they're all connected to Shastra. He's a pious man. But none of it's connected to Krishna. That's the problem. So therefore, we have to point out what are all the little details of where we forget Krishna. It's not, the point here is not, okay, everybody take sannyas, go to the forest. That's not the point. The point is whatever your position, whatever you're doing with your mind, your intelligence, your senses, that should be connected to Krishna. That's all it's saying. And it's pointing it out. Because if we point it out, you go, yeah, that's right. Then there's a good chance you are connecting to Krishna. But if we point it out, we go, oh, here goes another one of those again. That's guaranteed. That's a person who, that exact point, has nothing to do with Krishna. And I mean zip, nothing. Because facts are facts. These kartals are sitting on the table. Oh, there they go again, talking about the kartals again, you know. It's a fact. They are sitting there. Now, why they're sitting there, what's the purpose of sitting there, that's the real discussion. Pointing out that material life, life in the material world, is absolute waste of time for the living entity, that's just a fact. It's not a bias, it's not an overbalance, it's just a fact. Once we accept the fact, then we can discuss what to do with that. Otherwise, if we can't understand what we're working with, how do you do anything with something? If I walk into the kitchen and I can't see the vegetables on the counter, how am I going to cook? And I say, here are potatoes. Why do they have to be potatoes? You know, why can't they just be whatever we want? What if they want to be, you know, a Lamborghini? You know, why do they have to be stuck in the ground? They want to move around fast. They're free-spirited, you know? You know, right? No, it's a fact. Their potatoes are sitting on the counter. No, but why do you say that? Grihastha life or family life or our money or our attachments? Why do you say all that? No, that's just a fact. Now, if you understand that. Now, what can we do with these potatoes for Krishna? Right? We can bake them, we can boil them, we can fry them. We can do so many things. We can cook them whole, we can cut them up into pieces. We can grate them. But we cannot do any of that unless we acknowledge there are potatoes on the counter. It's that simple. So all the sages are doing is pointing out what's actually going on. And this shouldn't make us insecure. This should make us more secure. It only makes us insecure if our identity is mundane. Then it seems to attack their mundane identity. When it doesn't, it just points it out very clearly. Here exactly is what your identity is on the material platform. So then, great, now we know what to do with it, what we have to work with. At the same time, they're pointing out the spiritual platform and how we are the servants of the Lord. We're not the body, we're not all these situations. But in the spiritual world, it's not that the devotee is the situation, right? The devotee is standing in the courtyard of Nanda Baba's house. Is he the courtyard of Nanda Baba's house? No, he's a devotee standing in the courtyard, right? But the man thinks, this is my house, this is my kingdom. I'm like, they don't do that in the spiritual world. It's Krishna's house. So identity is important because then you are clear what to do. So these descriptions disturb our mundane identity because we want to be mundane. If we don't want to be mundane, then what do we care? Hey, your shoes got, it rained yesterday and it seems to be muddy outside because you got some mud on your shoes. Oh, why are you, pointing out these things? Why can't you see the good to it? That's nice mud. Hey, it's mud to the dog. You understand? Does this make sense? Right, so what's being pointed out here is that what is the actual position? So then we can appreciate this is the identity. So this is what I have to work with. So this is how I can connect it to Krishna. Like after this story, this Paranjana takes sannyas. Right? No, he continues his duties, installs his sons on the throne and everything, and then continues who goes to Vanaprastha and everything. But it's not that moment he walks out and nobody cares for anything. The point is whatever your duty is, connect it to Krishna. That's the point. This is now our fourth canto. Third canto is all about Grihastha. Right? Here now it's later in the Grihastha's life. But the Prachetas are young. They're going to, after they come out, burn down all the forests and all that, then they're going to marry the moon god's daughter. Right? So after all this description, you go, well here, but why they're describing marriage? Because marriage isn't the problem. Family life's not the problem. Problem is if it's not connected to Krishna. We don't mean by words. Just say, oh yeah, it's all connected. So describe analytically how it is. Oh, well, we don't get into that. We're not jnanis. No, that means you're uneducated. That's all. Just say that. Just say, I don't know. That's what Prachina Varhishad said. I don't know. Please teach me. So Narad Muni's teaching. That's what's going on. Point is if we spend less time defending our false ego, our mundane identity, we probably advance quicker. Because you serve Krishna with your spiritual identity. But if we're holding on to the mundane, it's a conflict. So, what's being pointed out by the Shastra is your spiritual identity, this works really nicely, it's ideal. And it can be applied everywhere. If this is a reflection of the spiritual world, it means all that goes on here goes on there. Just it goes on perfectly. But each thing not connected to the Lord, it each has its unique problem.
Like in the spiritual world, it has its unique application of Krishna's service.
So in the material world, being the reverse of that, each thing has its unique annoyance, its unique distraction, unique distress. But we don't count it that way. Right? The man sitting in the sauna, right? It's boiling hot in there. It's about to burn your skin off. But he's going, ah, this is so nice, right? And then after that, he goes outside. Why is he in the sauna? Because it's freezing cold outside. And then what does he do? Go outside where it's freezing cold. Now, what does he normally do when he goes outside when it's freezing cold? He goes out with all his clothes on. What is he doing now? He's going out without his clothes on. And he's going to jump into a hole in the ice or roll around in the snow or some other insanity. And he'll say, this is nice. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's how material life is. It's a problem, right? Now we'll say, like you ask people from the West, you come to Mayapur. Really, isn't it summer? Isn't it hot? Oh, hey, it's only, 40 degrees outside, and the real feel's actually about 53, like that. Come and, spend some time with us. They'll say, no, it's too hot, but it's hotter than 53 degrees in the sauna. And they'll happily sit inside. Not only that, they'll take these things with branches and beat themselves with them. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is we take something that's miserable and under certain conditions we'll say, this is nice. That's all. So that's all that the Shastras are pointing out. In a certain condition you'd say, it's not good. But we change the situation and say, it's fabulous. All they're doing is pointing out the reality of the thing. Now, what's wonderful is being able to connect it to Krishna. Right? No one's saying give up the activities of engagement of the senses that you like to do. That's not the point. Because you have to engage some way. Right? So there's standard methods. Right? You shake someone's hand, you shake their hand. You shake the right hand. Your right hand shakes their right hand. Right? It's not you come and shake their foot. Right? It's just a standard thing. So Krishna doesn't have a problem. There, you have to express through something. Right? We're not sitting there like, you know, a brain sitting in the, you know, a glass bottle or something, and everybody just telepathizes or something. You know, then even the telepathy is the medium. Right? The senses are engaged. So engaging the senses, that's not the problem. The problem is that the senses aren't engaged in Krishna's service. That's all. So that's all these nice things that are being pointed out here. Right? So here then, the young woman is like the mind, there's the intelligence, she has the senses, they have all the servants, as will be pointed out. Oh, here, the woman represents intelligence, right? Because it's a feminine quality, intelligence. So then, all these different things, all the different wives of the servants, so the sense, each sense has unlimited desires of how it would like to be engaged. But that's depending upon the mind. And that's depending upon the intelligence, what it points out is available. Right? Okay, some questions or comments? No? Yes.
I heard Prabhupada say that in the spiritual world we will recognize each other.
We'll be able to recognize each other.
How means
recognize means it'll be able to understood, or they come up and tell you who they are. Hey, we were the Mary and me, we used to do this together. Yeah. Because see, the thing is serving Krishna, you serve within the same guna. That's why it's like-minded persons. It means you have the person who's leading, and then you have above them the previous acharyas. So in other words, serving Radha and Krishna in that group headed by Rupa Goswami. But then for us, then that'll be within Rupa Goswami's group, those who are following Srila Prabhupada. Right? And then it will be naturally those who we like doing service with, that circle. So that position goes on. But it's not that you'll look the same there and all that. You recognize them because, hey, didn't you wear that sari on Janmashtami? Come on, that was billions of years ago. How do you remember that? You know, it's not like that. But it's the same group. That's why those who jump around groups, what's going to be their position? Who's going to want them? Right? People have their idea that they're with this guru, and then something happens, so they leave and go off with another one, and then after that, then go from ISKCON to some other group, and then from that to another group. Who's going to want them in the spiritual world? Right? You're talking eternal. You have to have somebody have a relationship with eternally, and these guys change, you know, the drop of a hat. Who's going to want them? So Vishwanath points out that nobody wants them. So, in other words, there has to be something fixed. So you work with the same people. Of course, naturally, all those quirks that you may like or not like about them, those go away, right? Because you're dealing with this spiritual platform, so they don't have all those strange things that they do, you know. Leave the windows open when it's freezing cold out, you know, stuff like that. They don't do that anymore. Is that okay? You know, so that's why it's very important to be fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Because then, if you can be fixed in the lotus feet of the spiritual master, you know, then you can be fixed in, you know, your previous acharyas and Rupa Goswamis. Otherwise, there's so many how big is, means the material world is 1/4 of the cosmic creation, right? And most of that's causal ocean and Mahavishnu, right? And so then there's a little bit of that is all the unlimited universes, right? And the universe is, you know, it's got 10 times the covering of what's inside. You know, each layer is 10 times thicker. So it actually ends up, basically, if, I think I calculated once, if the inside of the universe was about 1 centimeter, then the coverings on the universe would be from here to Krishnanagar. Right? That's just to make sure that nobody gets out that shouldn't. You know, you don't want, you know, materialists wandering around, right? So, and we think this place is so big. Now, of the spiritual world, which is 3/4, 51% of that is Goloka, right? And that has the 4 quadrants. So even if you just take mathematically, just by 4, you know, then that would be 25% of 51% of the cosmic creation compared to here, which is practically nothing. So there's a lot of Vrindavan, right? Why? Because that means there's unlimited pastimes in which the Lord can be with all the devotees, right? It's not like Dwarka, where in Dwarka you have, Ugrasena has 10 trillion bodyguards, right? And they're all fitting in Dwarka, which by, the experiential element is it's 10 miles by 10 miles, which means 15 kilometers by 15 kilometers. And that's just his bodyguards. So that means those are the best of the army. Then there's the rest of the army. Right? Means the Dwarka Krishna gave one Akshahini. That was just his army. He's one king in Dwarka. Right? Does that make sense? So you're talking a lot of people. And the Kshatriyas, they have 1/4 of the place. Then you have the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. There's 1,028,000 Acharyas who are teaching the kids in the Gurukuls. Right? So that means there's 1,028,000 Gurukuls in a 15 by 15 kilometers area. Right? And then there's the kids, right? Krishna has 10 each, 16,108 wives. And a lot of kids. Right? Like that. And that's his kids. Then there's everybody else's. Right? So, but Vrindavan, then everything is kept very, you know, smaller so that it has the element of the unlimited. So when you have a Maharas, everybody's there. So you may have thousands or millions of gopis. But on a day-to-day, you're working in a small group. Right? Radharani has 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants, that's all. Right? So the group is small, so that the intimacy is there. So that's why it's important one can be fixed. If one can't be fixed, then where you're going to end up, who knows? Is that okay? Very bottom, little dinky thing. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for a nice class. Maharaj, you were telling if we call somebody that 43 degree here, 53 degree there, still doesn't want to come. So, I was thinking that people don't want to surrender to one process. They want to keep hopping one place to another place to another place. They want anything and everything except Krishna. So as a devotee also, when we try to surrender, some kind of envy comes which doesn't allow us to serve Krishna through our senses. So I feel that is a very big hurdle. Can you enlighten more?
But can you be specific? In other words, you're saying, can you just describe Krishna consciousness?
It's like,
you know what I'm saying? Be specific. Because that's not a specific question.
It's like even if the trouble is more there, people take that as better option than, you know, less trouble but surrendering to Krishna, or surrendering to one process like this where you keep doing one activity throughout your life.
Okay, so what's the exact question?
The question is, basically, they don't want to surrender.
That we understand.
Yeah.
But what do you want to know about don't want to surrender?
So here is like how this envy, which is not allowing them to surrender.
How does that come up?
Yeah.
Okay. So envy means identity, right? Attachment means enjoyment, right? It means what your goals are, what your values are. So envy is connected with your identity, that I don't see myself as servant. I see myself as master. And because we have this idea, the master enjoys more than the servant. But as been pointed out, is that the servant enjoys more than the master. Because the master is directly enjoying whatever is the senses contacting sense objects, but the servant gets to see that. So you get to see that interaction and their happiness, so it's greater. Right? Because you're doing something for someone else. Doing something for yourself, how many people do something nice for themselves? Right? You know, the guy is living in his place. He's a bachelor. There's no girl. The place looks like a bomb hit it. He's not too worried about his stuff and everything. But as soon as there's a girl, then immediately all his wealth resources is being given in that direction. No? Yeah, so the whole point is when it's for someone else, it's so much easier. It's so much more natural. But we have this false idea that, no, if I do it for myself, I'll get more. I have to do it myself. Right? Then only I'll get the benefit. Does that make sense? So, the difficulty comes up is that because of that, then we don't want to surrender. That's why the first thing in Bhagavatam that's basically being discussed is this thing of poshanama, as a protection. That if you surrender, Krishna will protect you. Because I think, no, I'm protecting myself, therefore everything's nice. So if I surrender to Krishna, then what will happen? So the first point that has to be made is you can surrender and Krishna takes care. Right? It means Krishna protected Maharaj Parikit in the womb of Uttara from a nuclear explosion. Right? How often do you hear of your own private nuclear explosion going off in your wife's womb, right? You know, destroying just your baby. It'll leave your wife intact. Right? So, Krishna's taking care of that. That's the first thing. So if he can do that, surely he can protect you from whatever is going on in your own life. Does that make sense? So it's just this lack of faith that someone else will take care, because I don't care for anybody else. So why should someone else? Why would God care so much? Right? Because I did something. If I do something wrong, someone does something wrong in my circle of values, I get very upset, and there must be retribution. There must be punishment. There must be. So if I've done something wrong, why would God care? Why would he be nice? Does that make sense? Right? No, but the point is he has affection. That's why he's nice. Point is we don't want to recognize it. Because if he's nice and he's going to take care, that means we should surrender. And not wanting to, and because of this false concept that I will enjoy by being the master rather than the servant, then we stick to that. That's what mental speculation is. Is, okay, I tried it to enjoy directly, it didn't work. So that's because of this. If I make this adjustment, then I'll enjoy. That's called mental speculation. So when we say the living entity speculates, this is what it means. That person, you know, made the problem, or that situation was the problem. If I had more money or more position, right? Some way, then everything would have been fine. But there's so many living entities, each one's doing that, and each one's falling short. It's not going to work. So that's why the Shastras at times are so blunt about what's going on. And this is the nice chapter. It's being blunt very poetically, right? The other chapters on, you know, the forest of material enjoyment and those kind of things, that's blunt, no poetry. So this is the nicer of them. Okay? Yes.
We've heard about connecting what we do to Krishna. Could you emphasize a little bit on the consequences of failing to do so?
Failing to do so. Yes. We just remain bothered by the material energy. See, the point is this is called sadhana bhakti. So it's not expected that the first time you try it, it'll be perfect. I mean, of course, it works like that. Well, not exactly like that in Hollywood, but, you know, at least within, you know, 15 seconds, they've gone from being a total amateur, never done it before, to being like the world's master, like that. But the point is it's practice. So the first thing is to actually understand what is to be done. Then one makes a plan how to do that for your situation. Then making that effort, if it's successful, great, you continue doing that. If it wasn't successful, since we know it's the correct thing, then we have to look at, okay, I'm servant of God, I engage my senses in the Lord's service, and being in the position I am, I have these prescribed duties. So therefore, engaging the senses according to that is correct. Right? You know, like the grihastha engages the senses with the family members, and that's correct. Well, the brahmachari does the opposite. He's indifferent to that. That's correct. If the grihastha is indifferent, the brahmachari is involved, that's wrong. Right? So it's whatever's medium is authorized. Now, when you apply it, and if it doesn't work, then you have to analyze again, okay, what didn't work? You know, I had a great plan, but I didn't actually carry it out because of my attachment. Or, because of my illusion, I took something as more important when it wasn't actually more important. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so something was there and then try to correct it. In other words, the same process of analyzing and trying to make it work, instead of being called speculation, then this is called contemplation. It's the same thing. Right? Sense gratification that's connected to the Lord is called devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to do. And if it doesn't work, you think about it. Try again. Try again. So some things may take a few times, some things may take years. But the point is if it takes a few years, what's the big deal? The other side is eternity. Few years, eternity. Few years, eternity. It's worth it. Oh, I've been doing this so long. How long is that so long? Oh, the last 3 months. Even the last 3 years. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, Prabhupada started out, he's got his magazine, he's out on the street, nobody cares. He makes his bhagavatams, he goes out, nobody cares. Huh? He bumps into a bunch of, you know, crazy hippies, somebody cares. Right? And then everything flourishes. But take, 66, when did it start? Right? Does that make sense? 22, you got the order. That's 44 years. But look at the result. So the point is the effort is what's important. Right? Does that make sense? It's the effort. It's not the perfection of what you've done. It's the effort. And not only that of the effort, it's the mood in which the effort is made. Right? So that's why the first point that's being made, Prabhupada makes in the Gita, is it's the mood. That's the first thing to get correct. That I am servant of God. Right? Then we understand, okay, who am I? Who is God? What's the relationship? What I should do? Because if that mood's right, then the endeavor is good. You know what I'm saying? Just children do things. Right? Do they do things perfectly? Are they, but even lacking that perfection, are they attractive to the parents? Right? So they're, and why? Because of they're so expert at how they do the things? No, it's because of the mood. Because they don't have skill, they don't have expertise, but they have a mood that's appreciated. So the point is the mood of devotion, that's what's appreciated. Then we make the endeavor. It may work nice, it may not. We keep trying. And then eventually, because you want to do it for Krishna, so that's why you want a good result. So therefore the mood is expressed through proper endeavor, proper result. Because the result's for Krishna. If you want a good result, you have to do the proper activity. You have to do the proper activity, you have to have the proper knowledge. But all that's useless if you don't have the proper mood. Does that make sense? So, therefore, I am servant of Krishna. That submission, that's the first thing. If that's there, everything else follows. Right? So that's why the process starts when I see I am servant of Krishna, and therefore I am meek and humble. Having that attitude, then you can take up what's right and what's wrong in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is my maintainer and protector. Then you can come to the transcendental platform of I am this particular devotee in Krishna's lila, and I take that natural mood and position in relationship to all the other devotees. But in other words, you start with that end. Right? So the mood is where it starts. Right? Is that what it says?
Thank you so much for the nice class. Actually, I could not understand one thing. Like you are telling about how even the material things, if they are connected to Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. Like you are telling that even the things that may be an obstacle otherwise, but if we connect it to Krishna, it can be a spiritual thing. So that is like the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Many times when we go for applying for the principle of Yukta Vairagya, it may so happen that because of our neophyte stage, we may not be able to judge it properly, why we are doing it, and we may end up in something that is not devotional service. So that is why for neophytes, like it is said that, that example of Goswami who had the Parasmani. Sanatan Goswami who had Parasmani, he set an example that we should have apply Vairagya before coming to Yukta Vairagya principle. So now how should we judge which one should we be applying? Should we be applying Yukta Vairagya or should we be applying Vairagya? And also we should take care that we should...
If you're going to be logical, why not Yukta? Should we be applying Yukta or Vairagya or Yukta Vairagya? Then you could probably also, it would give a different flavor as Vairagya Yukta. Can you separate them? Okay. Why is the person renounced? Right? Because look at it. Okay. There's more than devotees who are renounced. Right? So why are they renounced? Why do it?
They have not got the right process. They are trying out something, but they don't.
They're tired of something. Is that what you said? Okay, so they're tired of something. So what does it matter that they're tired of something? What's the essential point of I'm tired of this? What's the direction? What's the thrust? Right.
Material frustration.
Huh?
Frustration because of.
Yes, but frustration of what?
Sense gratification.
He needs to think. Yeah, sense gratification, but why are they engaged in sense gratification?
Because they want to get some enjoyment.
They want to get some enjoyment. For?
As a soul, they want to be happy for themselves.
Okay, as a soul. Right? So the lady's walking down Fifth Avenue, looking in the shop there. She sees the Louis Vuitton bag. She thinks, I, as a soul, want to be happy. I'm going in there and buying that bag. Right? You understand? think. Don't say what you think you're supposed to say. There's a thought process going on here. So they want to be happy because they don't identify that I'm the soul. They think I'm the body, because if they're the soul, why would the body give enjoyment to the soul? You know what I'm saying? The fish out of water, why will he get enjoyment? The fish is out of water on the land. Okay, he's got some dust on him. That may be annoying, right? All the scales gets inside. It's really, you know, we'll wash him off, okay? You know, then sit him on a place without dust. Now he'll be happy? No. You know, we put some nice music on, you know, like that. Take him to the Louvre, like that. Or take him to some, you know, concert, like that. Will he be happy? Dancing girls, nice food, a cigar. No, because it's not his nature. So they're doing because they don't think they're the soul, the body. I mean, they don't think they're the soul, they're the body. So because they want to enjoy, it's not working, therefore they're frustrated. And because they're frustrated, they don't want to deal with that because it annoys them. Right? That's why they're renounced. So they're renounced for their own sense gratification. Maybe in the negative, but it's for themselves. So when you say start with renunciation, but what does that mean, start with renunciation? Why are you renouncing? The point is to engage. Does that make sense? So the point is if you can't engage, then why deal with it? That's why you renounce. Right, the brahmachari cannot engage the woman in Krishna's service, right, personally. So therefore, that's why he doesn't deal with it. It's not that renunciation has some special meaning on its own. Because what are you renouncing? It's not yours in the first place, right? The man walks into some other's house and says, I renounce this house. Does it have any meaning? It's not his in the first place. Everything is God's. So therefore, now it's just a matter of how you're going to relate to God. Does that make sense? So without training means if you have training, you can engage so many things. If you don't have training, what can you engage? Not much, right? Let's say the person has no understanding of cooking, right? And he's given service in the kitchen. What does he do? Right? Does he cook? No, he'll clean. He'll wash pots. He'll clean the floor. Right? He's a little better, he'll cut sabji. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is to engage these things. The brahmachari doesn't engage these things because he doesn't know how to. You understand? That's why brahmacharis don't engage with women, is because they don't know how to. Right? Just ask the women. Go to any temple in our movement and see what happens if a lady walks into the temple, how she's greeted and how she's interacted with. It doesn't matter how great and fabulous the temple is, they're all the same. They have no idea. They'll all tell you, it's terrible. Because they won't deal with you as a human. Because if you're human, then you're something to enjoy. And because we don't want to enjoy, therefore I don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, just like the guy who, how you say, He's fasting on Ekadasi, so he refuses to serve prasad. Why should I? I'm fasting. So what? So what you're fasting? You're supposed to do service, you idiot. You know what I'm saying? Fasting, serving Vaishnavas. Fasting, serving Vaishnavas. Which has more meaning to Krishna? Okay, so that's the whole point. They have no idea how to. Now, once they learn how to, then one of two things happen. One is they decide, now I know what it's like to deal with family life, and so therefore I'm comfortable with that, I get married. Or the other one goes, now I know what family life is and I don't need that, and he remains a brahmachari. That's a brahmachari. You know what I'm saying? That's a brahmachari. I don't need it. Because if it's a repulsion, repulsion can turn into attraction. Right? The karmis are so disgusting. But then, after a while, then people are hanging out with the karmis. because he found one that wasn't disgusting, right? The guy is there with his family. He doesn't know what to do. His wife is freaking him out, his kids. You know, he leaves. He goes out. He travels. You know, he joins a ship, right? Merchant Marine, traveling around the world. You know, nothing to do with family. Out with the boys, you know, good, you know, working hard, smelling bad. You know, all this kind of stuff, right? So he's doing all that. And so, you know, he meets women here and there. It's all the same. They all want money. They all want this and that. Then he meets one that's not like that. Then what happens? He wants to settle down and get it. So all it is repulsion. It's not actually lack of need. Right? If I put an apple down on the floor and a dog comes along, what does the dog do? Right? He'll smell it, walk away. Oh, it's an apple. I don't need that. You understand? So renunciation means there. So in other words, the point is this engagement in Krishna service. So you're engaging either by interacting with it connected to Krishna, or not interacting with it because it's not your duty. The point is if it's your duty, right? So the point is if someone comes to the temple as a guest, what's your duty in as a temple devotee dealing with a guest? Right? See what they need and take care of that. And whatever's the, you know, the basic way according to your position. Right? But the girl comes to the temple, she's not a guest, she's a girl. So girl means sense enjoyment. And I'm a brahmachari, so I don't enjoy girls. It means I would may or may not like to, but at this point in my life, I'm not doing that. So therefore, I'll have nothing to do with her. But that's not your duty. Your duty is guest. You don't have a duty of dealing with women as family members. So therefore, there is no option. That's yukta vairagya. Because the vairagya is engaged in Krishna's service. We think, no, I'm being renounced, tough, you know, eat wood for breakfast, right? You know, like that. That's brahmacharis. You know, that's nice. But every one of those brahmacharis is married. Every last one. I don't remember any of those tough, mean, you know, that are not married. Every last one. You know? And the next line in the song is, when will they ever learn? They don't. Because the point is this yukta vairagya means the vairagya is it's not for me, it's for Krishna. And it's for Krishna according to my duties. Right? So, the brahmachari takes care of the guests, they come to the temple, they want to know where something exists and that. Oh yeah, Artik's at this time, this, that, and so you just tell a few things and then you go away. They're situated, you go away. Grihastha might take him around, show him the things and the what's going on, and take a little bit more because of that element. But it's not their girl, so they're not going to get involved. Right? But the Grihastha, it's his wife and his kids at the temple. He's going to make sure that they are properly situated rather than, no, he's at the temple and he's engaged in service and in the kirtan and they're over stuck in the corner and getting pushed out of the way and didn't get the shot and all that. And I'm a great devotee because I was engaged in the kirtan. No, that's a nonsense Grihastha. He's being renounced when he actually isn't renounced. He's just attached to himself. And he calls that renunciation. But he's engaged in Krishna's service, so he gets the benefit of the kirtan. But he doesn't get the benefit of his family life. And so now his family can be harder to engage in Krishna's service, because now his family doesn't want to come to the temple, because it was a bad thing. And now they're in Maya. Now he's a nonsense. Because it was his duty to take care, and he didn't. You understand? So this is where all of these people go wrong. The brahmachari goes wrong. And the grihastha goes wrong. Why? Because they don't know their duties, and so they're not doing the duties for Krishna. So therefore, it's not yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means engaging your duties in Krishna's service. So that means you have to give up something to engage it. The definition to renounce means I give up engaging the senses. That's the Mayavadi's concept of renunciation. That's not ours. It's not your duty. You don't do it. It is your duty, you do it. Does that make sense? Right? The brahmachari's duty is not to protect women, but he's supposed to take care of guests. You understand? So he does his duty. It it's a whole different, spiritual life is actually very different than our mundane perspective. Is that okay? So Andrew. Rantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Jaya Nidaya Govardhana ki.